just getting into it. So you guys are based in Kansas?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about the music scene there and what the environment and community has done for you guys.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Well, it's definitely much different from being in a bigger city. I wouldn't say it's easier. There's drawbacks and there's positives. Like, I think being in a smaller city, there's a smaller music community. So in a way, you can draw in like a lot of different genres together and just make like one big music community out of that, instead of there being music communities like based on different subgenres. So I feel like that just diversifies the music that's made here a lot, which I really love about it.
But yeah, that's interesting that you talked about there being a lot of different genres in your city, because when I did a little bit of research, the music that you kind of like, it's like Lana Del Rey mixed with Fugazi, and you pull from a lot of different influences, which just the listener might not be able to pick up on. But what do you think it is about listening to kind of a wide genre of music that for you to like refine the sound of Flooding?
Well, my philosophy is like not to listen to music and be inspired music by music based on just like what it sounds like or what the musicians are doing musically, but just like literally, for lack of a better word, the vibes of it. Certain music makes you feel, and I think that you can find the same feelings in like a lot of different genres that you wouldn't necessarily categorize together, but if you think of it that way, then a lot of music is very similar,
especially like in terms of that kind of emotional response that music can create. Totally. Because you guys are playing in around the noise rock genre, which I feel like is one of my favorite genres to see live. What has that kind of done for your process when you're kind of going back to your writing and recording? Does that have any impact?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, since we've been playing live, because we started playing live with our first album, which was very somber and very slow, I always felt very awkward playing those songs live, but that just made me want to write music that I would have more fun performing. So I definitely got inspired a lot by noise rock legends like Courtney Love and PJ Harvey. And I feel like we have noise rock now still, but it's definitely not at the level that it was back in the day. We don't have a Courtney Love or a PJ Harvey anymore. We need that.
We do. So
I want to fill a void, kind of.
This release is like, is it your first EP? Because your past two projects were full-length albums. What informed the decision to go quite a lot shorter?
Yeah, it's our first EP. I mean, I think it just, the music kind of felt a lot different to me. The subject matter too is also very different. It's a lot less personal, and more so like from the perspective of others. So yeah, there's a lot of very different elements about it that just made me want to kind of go a different direction with it, and I wanted to make it kind of like turning point towards what we'll be doing more in the future.
Let's get into some of the tracks on the project. Complete Detail. You start very, very quietly and whispering with "I want you to walk with your tail between your legs." By the way, your lyrics are just so funny. Great. And not all of them. No. Do you know what I mean? I feel like there's a little bit of humor behind them and like mockery. It's so
I'm glad you think it's funny.
No, I have some of them written down, but we'll get to it. Yeah, and then like when you're kind of reiterating that line, "I want you to feel shame," and then you break into this like more guttural style of singing, and it feels super restrained in that like beginning part, almost till you get to the very end of that song, and it creates a lot of suspense. What kind of was going through your head when you were creating this track to kind of make that feeling come through?
Yeah, well, actually, when I was writing that song, that was the first song that I wrote for the EP, and I was in a huge musical rut. Like, I could not write anything. I couldn't figure out what I wanted to do, and I kind of went back to the vibe of our first album, but then with the like really explosive choruses is a lot more similar to what we're doing now. But yeah, I wanted to have a moment where the softness like disarms you and
totally
then it just like blows up in your face, and I hope I achieve that.
No, definitely. I feel like with a lot of noise rock in general, sometimes you'll be listening to the beginning of a track and then it like suddenly goes really hectic. But with this one, it's like it builds for so long and then you're so not expecting that. Yeah, I guess that more explosive chorus, which is so great. And then you've done totally instrumental tracks before, but Object One is the one on this project. What's the recording and writing process like for you when you're kind of going about carving out an instrumental track? Because that must be quite difficult without the like lyrics to kind of inform the direction of a song and kind of the emotion of it. So yeah, what's kind of going through your head? Can you take us through, maybe even secondary to that, like what goes into making a Flooding track?
That one was a lot different because, okay, I'll also say first, with the Flooding songs, mainly what we're doing is I'm writing them and then we develop them together with Cole and Zach, my bandmates. And when we're developing the songs and playing them over and over again, they actually don't know what the vocals are. We don't have a PA system where we practice, and there's no way they would be able to hear me doing my vocals not on a microphone. So they don't know what I'm doing in that regard. So I actually haven't thought about that up until now. I think that might have an effect on our music in a way. But yeah, on Object One, that instrumental track, that actually wasn't really supposed to be a Flooding song. That's the first song that we've ever written like genuinely all together, just like kind of jamming. It just turned into a really fun track and we love to play it. So we were just like, let's just put it on the EP. I didn't put any lyrics on it because I was trying to figure out what I could do with it. I might do some like talking vocals or something, but I could not for the life of me figure out what I should do for vocals, and so I just didn't put them on there because it didn't feel right, this song that we wrote all together, and then all my other songs being songs I've written like in solitude and kind of put like a personal connection to myself. So yeah, instrumental track.
No, it's so good. Also love talking vocals. Some of my favorite music is like that. But yeah, that's so cool to hear that the instrumental parts kind of get developed on their own and more collaboratively. That's so cool. Because it almost in a good way, like it does feel like the guitar and everything is just kind of, they kind of meander and talk to each other separately, which makes for a very, like, it's just very interesting and very, like, textural, which I love. And then I wanted the song that I'm going to, but is Your Silence is my favorite song. You kind of start with explaining the mentality or, like, getting inside the head or from the perspective of a very manipulative character. Favorite line from this track is "This Charming Man, my favorite song," and that's just so funny. It's so funny because you're just so right, and I've met so many like that.
Ooh. Yes, they love the Smiths.
They love the Smiths. But yeah, I just wanted to ask, and where did this character come from, and why did you decide to take on this kind of more antagonist profile?
Yeah, that character is kind of a huge exaggeration of things that I've experienced in relationships and also things that like my friends have experienced in relationships. So yeah, it's just kind of like this really exaggerated generalization of like a narcissistic partner, but also the character is like a rock star too.
Yeah, of course. No, I just thought because like it's such a The song, I think, is unfortunately very relatable. Like, I think a lot of women and a lot of my friends and myself have experienced dealing with men that, or like partners that are like this. And it's so, it's, the song is so weirdly freeing when you like can kind of make fun and like take down, because it's so exaggerated and you're inside their head, which is so smart. Yeah, I jumped around with some of my questions, but you made solo, you did stuff on your, by yourself before this project. Yes. Why the decision to, you know, go into a more band kind of format?
I think there's a lot of stuff I wanted to try out on the like more aggressive side of things that I couldn't do with my music. Because with Window Seat, I feel like the subject matter is a lot different and it's a lot more personal, and it's a lot sweeter. Like, I don't think I really have like a flooding love song that isn't like actually really dark and evil. So yeah, like I wrote the first flooding album thinking it was gonna be for Window Seat, my other project, but I was just like, this would just sound better as like a rock band. And so we just made a rock band. Like noise rock, people like don't know what that is. Like the vast majority of people in the world don't, they have no idea what that is. But they say like there's cycles of what's popular in music, like the trend cycles. So it's like we're in a pop cycle right now, but we're gonna be in a rock cycle.
Let's go back to guitar music. We'll be right back. Yeah.